team. So we give you the capacity to unmute yourselves because we're going to begin with wolves howling to come into place here. And remember, wolves play every 20 minutes, even when they're hunting and even when they're hunted, play. And I myself have felt so overwrought. I just took a walk with the dogs, going, right, Saturn, our rhythm. Phew, phew. Because we can feel, right, part of our work play, where the membrane gets thin and group mind comes in, right? And we're here to animate group mind in a good way, but it gets thin. And I could feel myself, and I've watched a lot of people's comments and videos too, that they just got snappish. And it's like, oh, the membranes are thin, so we gather our wits and our wolves and our howling and our body mudras and everything, very grateful that we can convene. So you can unmute yourselves, and here come wolves. Oh, wait, one last little thing. Since part of our aspiration in participating in dreaming the news into being, is insourcing Saturn, our authority, our leadership, our capacity to define things, because everywhere out there is a crisis of leadership. Inhaling autonomy. And I love, to learn from our betters in nature. I love the wolf model of leadership, which is, just to repeat, and you can incantate with me if you've heard me say this so often, but wolves don't operate on dominance, they operate on charisma. And in wolf culture, charisma means who initiates play best. And let's go hunting, let's do stuff. But play is really at the top of their list. And you can tell the lead wolf by consensus, by group consensus, because it's within 3 weeks of birth, because it's the wolf pup with the lowest resting heartbeat. So I like that a lot as a model of leadership aspiration. The coolest, calmest wolf who engages the playful ingenuity of the pack. And we go, ooh. So here's the wolves to lead us off, that we may have that quality. Feel free to howl. I so love that. I lived with a wolf dog, such a charming being, and at the same time as a coyote. And I love that sound. And it was the neighborhood was a little different, but it's like, just to let you know, you're not really in the suburbs, neighbors. Arr! And did you catch the one wolf did the little tremolo at the top? Arr! And Stella Coyote would often improvise and innovate. And it's like, oh, that's so great. So it reminds me, we bring up all of our metaphors to draw upon, the Taoist rainbringer who was summoned, when there was a terrible drought, and he sat for 3 days, and then the rain came. And Richard Wilhelm in China asked him, how did you make the rain come? And he said, oh, I didn't make the rain come. Where I live, things are in harmonious, dynamic accord. When I came to your neighborhood, your world, it was so out of whack, it took me 3 days to come into balance. And when I came into balance, the rains came. So it's part of our repertoire, part of our repertoire. There's a huge amount of repertoire. And again, we all spell each other and who brought what and who's capable of what when and, how to be self-possessed and dancing with the whole thing. So we have a long musical lead-in now because it's like, okay, we're arriving. And this is called Walking in Takeboston. Takeboston is 1400-year-old ruins in Persia. And this is an extraordinary good thing. They're all, the women and the men, they're all playing lutes. And as we honor Chiron, the great centaur mentor, and we want to call upon everything now. And when he starts his school for future cultural heroes, one of the very first things he does is he teaches them all to take bows and arrows and turn them into lutes. Right, so it's the transformation of weapons into music, transformation of weapons into music. So, yeah, and then I put before the council that we get to redefine everything, but there was a reference to this piece of music also connected to Miriam the prophetess. Aaron's sister took a tambourine, and all the women followed her with tambourines dancing, and Miriam led them in singing. Singing to the divine, what a victory. And I just pause a little bit when I read that because it's like, oh, I don't really want an Old Testament kind of victory. So for all of us to define, what would Miriam led them in singing, sing to the divine. Maybe as we watch this, we think of, victory. Maybe we throw the idea of victory into the cauldron just to be replenished. And it doesn't harm anything to be thrown into the cauldron. It just does a, if it's terrible, it goes blub, blub. And if it's not, it just does a little backstroke and waits to be ladled out. But any old victory is kind of a war word, isn't it? It's not like Japanese go, it's more chess. And we, it's like, the young whippersnapper astrologer who interviewed me in Tel Aviv, Zoom Tel Aviv, oh wait, there, oh yeah, when he sent me the interview transcription, it was like, oh, it's okay, but he's like, and Casey, K Casey's dedicated to the archetype. I hate that word, but people use it all the time. To the trickster who cares about nothing. I'm like, nothing, nothing. Au contraire, the trickster is all participating with everything. In that sense, maybe the most seriously playful of all the intelligences. And then his just our unconscious language, he was like, and she arms us with these. Oh, no, not arming. Anyway, so there was those kind of things. So we define, let me just say it again, and we can all see it as we get to arrive and look at this beautiful. Trancy, powerful humans doing good music. So it's armies flee. We go, okay, armies flee. The prophetess Miriam plays the tof, and the women the tambourine and the lutes, and women join her to sing, drum, and dance in triumph. Triumph. I don't know. What do you think about triumph? In ecstatic union and kinship, I'm just going for that. Okay, so fill in the blank. Here we go. Walking in Tak e Boston.
Thank you.
And it ends abruptly, probably because it goes on for hours. But do we get the feeling? Do we feel arrived? Do we feel arrived? Do we feel like that's humans doing a good thing? You know, and it reminds me, I mean, I don't know about you all. Feel free to converse in, here and after and on Facebook and by email just to let us converse what's going on. You know, but and I distracted myself with that long preamble. So now I've forgotten. Oh, I know, right? That I am very engaged, you know, and in the sense of there's people in Gaza that I follow every day. I feel super engaged conversations like, ooh. So this is an amazing Dream News time in that there's so much nuanced and authentic communication. The very constraint of the Orthodox press has turned it over to so many actual humans. And I remember just the video, we don't play everything here, but I can post it all on our Facebook. And it's the pressmen who are left surviving in the bombing, I think, of the South now. And there's bombs going off and they're singing and playing like that music, you know, and the words are, you know, we will stay together, we will support each other, we will keep singing and making music until the pain goes. And it's like, and I just remember, you know, again, I keep in my pocket all the time when I was in South Africa and a long time ago, but My friend and guide Ishmael, truly, he said you have to go to Robben Island to feel the spiritual technology that Nelson and his comrades had to cultivate to survive. So, absolutely, I went there, just profound. And afterwards, Ishmael was like, "Did you feel it? Did you feel it?" Like, "Oh, I don't presume," but I did. Wonder going on the boat out to that cold, windswept, barren place with a life sentence over your head, like, ooh. And Ishmael said, but Nelson and his comrades, they were singing as though it was nothing. It's like, ooh. And when the bombs began falling in Odessa in the Ukraine, and we're learning so much about so many places, it's like, I could have loved living in Odessa. The world-class jazz clubs, everybody important in jazz played in Odessa, and comedy festivals and like and a beach, But the jazz club, again, with bombs, were saying, they want us to not walk our dogs, they want us to be afraid, but we will keep the music going. And they did. And it's a kind of a Chiron dynamic. But so here we are, a team. Wandering together, all in one dream, and I did send along. I mean, there are harsh images, but it is the in the church in Bethlehem, right? It's the creche that they made, the little baby in the midst of ruins, and it's like, yeah, it's in the atmosphere, and we do want to draw upon everything. We're heading to the winter solstice, and it was. Mycologist James Arthur, who years ago told me the story about Christmas as the Amanita Mushroom Festival, which many of you know, it's just true. Once you hear it, at first you think like, oh, and then you go, no, it's true. So in the north, the shaman dresses as the sacrament, red and white, Amanita mushrooms. Amanita mushrooms grow under pine trees, little red and white things under pine trees. Reindeer love to eat them. Right, the humans drink the reindeer piss because it's filtered out some of the more toxic alkaloids, and the experience is of flying. Right, so the reindeers and the shaman fly to the North Pole, and then to bring back wisdom into everyone's. It's very cold, right? So there's just a chimney hole to bring back wisdom into everyone's hearth. It's like, right. It goes on and on and on. I mean, you'll see the mushrooms in Christmas, German Christmas cards and everything, and little teacups and it's all. But I find it heartening, oh, and also even Santa's wink, that Coca-Cola appropriated when he's doing his wink reminds us that he is Odin. Odin is one-eyed, one eye looking in, one like looking out at this. Time. Oh, it goes on and on. Just there's so many resonances. But I find it heartening the many worlds, the many things we're dreaming, just even in less horrific times, all the Christmas tree lights and the sometimes faux festivity. But remember, even in bad rituals that I have experienced, they're like, oh, this is so cheesy, whatever. But then at a certain point, when people have just put enough like ooh, into it, the divine comes in and goes, all right, let's make it real. And so all of the templates now, so driving around or walking around, and seeing the lights and just going, it's just humans wanting to become sacramentally high and kinned. That's the endogenous impulse, and so we get to imbue reality with that. So I did put out in the missive, right, the chant that I learned from Starhawk in 1981, right? It's just a simple good thing for the winter solstice, but we're diving, so we might as well practice. And it's the longest nights, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night? And this is us hanging out here. We know it's the solstice is a little more, but we're practicing. And then people would shout out, tyranny. And you go, tyranny is gone with the night. Or Witty Wags would go, insomnia, insomnia has gone with the night, but whatever. And so I suggested to us that we are brewing this. Because really, right now, it takes all of our skills, and we'll go into the chart that is really about our capacity to cooperate and invite in what is wiser and better and stronger than us, and the trickster that knows how to resolve impossible things. And that's always the winter solstice, well, and the equinoxes, the earliest form of human participatory ritual theater. Like at Newgrange, right? Oh, literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illuminate this writing, this painting at the back of the cave that we don't usually see. This is the story our community wants to animate. And so we're preparing for winter solstice. And so, in personal, each one of us, and then community, and then world ways, what is the story we want to animate? That's our vessel, that's our dedicated craft, and again, so many blessings that we just experimentally go, well, we're counting on this, it says, form the dedicated vessel of the desirable story, and Jupiter says, I will fill it. Because even, as we're kind of diving into the dark, and then even New Year's Eve is pretty cool. Jupiter stations on New Year's Eve, and it's retrograde, and then goes forward. Stories and blessings that we brew now are eager to waft out. So New Year's Eve solo, or with cool people, or dedicated magic thing, whatever the thing is. So we honor that, and then and then of course when we throw things into the cauldron. I like the idea of, well, what did this poor thing, this poor, corrupt, cruel thing want to be before it got inquisitioned? And let's track it back to what would be its liberated form, to then ladle out. So as we meander along, oops, that's great. Right. That's I'm going to be hanging out and participating with the chat here. So Sean says, it's always amused me that when I think of those who speak of bringing rain, I think of Richard Wilhelm and Wilhelm Reich. Right. A nice poetry to the pairing of names. Right. I often confuse them. Right. Richard Wilhelm in China translating the I Ching, the classic version that many of us started off with and that Carl Jung used. And Wilhelm Reich, yes, well, we want to invite people to our council. The dead are particularly welcome. And then, right, Susan says maybe the victory of self-possession. Thank you. That's exactly the right thing. It's my blessing to exit from cuckoo, conversations. May we all awaken tomorrow, self-possessed rather than merely possessed, right? And that's great. Because the etiquette about tossing things into the cauldron is not proper names, right? We don't draw proper names. But whatever possesses, I'm working with possession. It works for me as a metaphor and a true thing. It's again, pressure comes down and it erupts through the thin membranes. I think that, of what is permissible in group mind that to which we're all contributing. In the dream news, just to kind of pull us back into part of our participatory frame, everything is us, right? So we dreamed the Netanyahu part of ourselves was committing great carnage on the babies and women, part of ourselves. But then we go, well, what is that? What is the Netanyahu part of ourselves? What is this, hungry ghost, because we see it everywhere. We see it in Trump, and there's danger everywhere. Again, part of our deal is anything, anywhere is everywhere, right? So this issue of tyranny and tyranny danger, and kinship, and Let me just bring up the chart of now for fun, and then put different beings and things in it. All right, I'm going over here. Oh, come back over here. Here we are. There you go. All right, so I did love that when we begin, theoretically, when we were scheduled to begin, 10 plus Leo was rising. Remember, this is East, the way this is a live action astrology chart, right? And I love that degree going, so there's the world, multiple worlds, including the mythological world. And I think part of what we get to play with, open to call and response, is the mythic qualities for which we have endogenous receptors, noumenoumena, that we are honoring, invoking, animating. We are then wishing to waft into the world in maybe different pulses, right? It's like the Delphic oracle. We know the priestesses would inhale these eth this ethylene. Ethylene would come out of the cracks in the ground, and they would put a tent over it and go, well, a great empire will fall. Right, but they would do little things, but then they'd do a big one. And on one level, however we want to, everybody, autonomy is a sacrament, play with it. But we do want to always send out blessing every time we gather. But we're also inhaling mythological ethylene, so to speak, just going, so that winter solstice, and New Year's Eve, ethylene is one metaphor. So, yeah, the things I wanted to draw our attention to. Wait a minute. So 10 Leo was rising. moving the screen around. And that's such a wonderful degree. Each degree has a metaphor, right? Children swinging under the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strengths of all spiritual, of all ancient traditions, all spiritual traditions based in nature mysticism. And we go, oh, right, okay. And when we began, the moon has moved 1 degree, but the moon was at 22 degrees of Virgo, which is, again, a degree I know really well because it's where Neptune was when this country was founded. Neptune, its desirable vision, its soul's vision, in a sense. Maybe so, and we want to honor the Pluto return, really, of America, of the world, which is like Pluto, death, rebirth, part of all of us. In excuse me, it moves me. In Capricorn for the last 14 years, dipped into Aquarius in the spring a little bit. Community, community, and then said, no, I'm going back into Capricorn to stress all of the systems of community support. We'll see when humans are in crisis, and yeah, is there support, right? And we're going to test all those systems. That's part of the narrative. But we do have the moon at 22 Virgo, trining Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius. things I'm pondering I do want to look at the chart of Israel and to hear people's thoughts and responses. Remember that. Well, let me just do a quick thing. I can play around here. I'm just going to put Israel. That the inner chart is when Israel was founded, and the outer rim is what we were just looking at, where all the planets are now. But this is a participatory, intriguing conundrum that I think we can line up with tonight. Because if we just, for the moment, just look at the outer planets, and I will aspire to make accessible to everybody. But here's the moon in Virgo, the witch's moon, the writer's moon, the tradition of women, seer, prophetess within everybody. It's making a grand trine in Earth, a heartening story. It trines Uranus, going right, this kinship, reweaving our kinship with the earth. And then grand trine to Pluto. So it's a grand, what's called a grand trine. And so Pluto says, I'm going to test all structures. And all those structures, societal and infrastructure and healthcare and emergency response and everything, that are in accord with nature's evolutionary guiding genius, resilient, yeah, and everything else. And that's part of the testing structure. Pluto, principle of death and rebirth, its image at 28 Capricorn is a gypsy reading tea leaves. So it's like, all right, so how we envision this. And it is, ingenuity. So the reason I wanted to bring up Israel just to, as a shared conundrum, participatory, and to put mysteries on the table before us. So the inner rim is when Israel was founded, May 14th, 1948, 6:10 p.m. People might have a different one, but this one works for me. And when we first looked at it, and when I looked at it, I go, Uranus goes around every 84 years. Uranus is everything that wants to be come alive and be equal and ingenious change and participatory animism. And with all of these big beings, what they represent, it's cooperate. Uh-oh, it's the typing, wait, chewing cat. Right, we'll see. If you're very wonderful, you can stay. Otherwise, I'll turn it over to somebody to talk while we put you somewhere else. All right. Are you going to not chew the cables? We'll see. Okay, thank you. Right, but participatory animism, that's large animals, wolves, everything. So Uranus in August, September, behind us, Uranus here stationed at t spent a long time at 23 degrees of Taurus. And that's important for all of us, right? Anytime a planet stations, it looks to us on Earth like it's standing still at a particular degree for a long time, and it would like our attention. And it leaves a long, long imprint. So I was noticing anyway, you're on a station 23 Taurus. Now it's retrograding. Here it is. And it will station at 19 Taurus, doing many interesting things. And then go forward. And it's in the in May 2024, Uranus, 23 Taurus, important to everybody, but on Israel's sun, goes forward and then comes back and stations January and February, winter solstice 2024 and January, February 2025 at 23 Taurus. This is a significant degree. And we go, how would we like to wonder about this? And what does it represent in our dream? What would be liberation? What would be a miraculous coming into accord with land? Uranus, as our trickster ally, has an emphatic preference for equality. And it says, that which is not equal, which is really not. So we do wonder, and I just wanted to present to the council that this is an ongoing, what would liberation be? I mean, I know just part of the hugeness of what's kind of going on is there's a huge, massive education happening about Palestine and Gaza, and I learned this and continue to learn about Ukraine and things like, Pluto's like, dive deep, dive deep, dive deep for the spiritual resources of the place that's in strife, dive deep into the land, the great Mexican medicine woman, really kind of revolutionary in the most effective sense, Teresita, I was just talking, yes, about her today with a wonderful, wonderful ally, right, Linda. There we go. So she, just again to remind us our rhythm and how we keep ourselves in order and how do we participate in dreaming the world into being. And her, Teresita's Aztec grandmother says, feel your feet on the floor, feel deep roots going into the underworld, connecting your feet into the earth. And Teresita says, grandmother, does this mean I can't be hurt? And her Aztec granny says, "No, child, we all get hurt. It means you can't be overpowered." Just so we have rooting, singing, music, bows and arrows into lutes, very strong, so this is an ongoing mystery. I know, my Israeli friends who are very dear, and some of whom we will host as guests at some soon perfect time in our Tuesday council, but said, "Do you think Israel will survive as a state?" It's like, not as it is. I mean, I think Uranus transits, for those who know, it's you're encountering an awakening. It's these big beings play hardball, real ball. Uranus is freedom gained through loss, so it's connected to grief, right? It's the third stage of grief, which is the experience of freedom, which is part of the navigating journey, but it is experiment, experiment, experiment. And so since everything is us, is one of our plays, we dream the Israeli part of ourselves, and then all of ourselves, we're up for really big changes, really big experiments. Uranus is not like a small rearranging of the furniture, right? It's like fundamental core change based on deep diving knowledge, diving underneath, for a sense of kinship. We go, okay, so just I'll just go for I'll just leave that there for the moment. There's other charts I want to bring in, but let me tap in. And there's Dr. Anna, such beauty that what that's right. And Ben says, makes me think about how it's rabbit year in Chinese astrology. Is it? Oh yes, well it is, drawing to a close, right? Soon dragon year. Whoa. Okay. Rabbit year in Chinese astrology. Apparently, this year is a lot about groups. Rabbits crave the safety of community belonging to, but often in groups of rabbits, there are chain reactions of nervous energy. Yes. Right. It's great. It's great for us to bring up characters and play. In Terry Pratchett's great novel, I think it's the I Shall Wear Midnight one. Oh no, yes, I guess it is still that one. I think so. But the hare leaps into the fire is a crucial thing. There are paintings and drawings of this mysterious thing, but it's the hare leaps into the fire, and it's a crucial kind of divinatory part of the book. But when fire is coming, what they found is that hares will leap into it. All the other animals are fleeing, and a lot of the times they're outrun by the fire, but the hare will leap into it, and so it gathers enough speed to go tujua, and to shake off the embers and to land on land that's already been burned, and in that way makes its escape. So that's another thought of rabbit. And then I had this wonderful, wonderful video on Facebook that I posted. It somewhere on my Facebook page. Film, don't know how they got this, but here's the game. Rabbit running down road, being chased by a dog. So the rabbit runs around down the road and then doubles back and hides in the woods here. The dog's just following the scent, and then you see the rabbit skedaddling, and it's like very clever groups, yes, fear, but clever, clever. Susan, I wonder if the great change that's in progress is the dissolution of the hypnotic grip, the ideas of superiority, only truth, smarter, whatever, and all are coming to wonder, if not believe, that we, like all life, really are equal. Yes, completely in cahoots with that, right? So we have an atmosphere where we can say things. It's a triggery thing out there. I wake up and I sometimes I make the mistake of looking at people's comments to me on Facebook before coffee. I'm like, that was a mistake. It's like food. But it is all, we're experimenting with everything. We're experimenting with everything. But that's, yes. How do I like that? I do like that. Darcy likes that. I like that. I don't yet know here to, I will learn these things. Oh, that's great. Anyway, yes. Thank you, Susan. And the idea of competition could hopefully be flipped to be about community and building better community instead of the more selfish win it all for myself kind. Yes, super wonderful, excellent. Thank you, team. And we will be collecting such things. These are absolutely what we want to ladle out and craft and waft, and then big exhalations, right? Of radical, deep rooted, experimental, why not? Miracles are possible, nothing else will work. It is the trickster thing against all odds, to do this. And this, long dynamic. So, right. So as we go along, do think, the longest nights the wheel is turning. It's a good thing to take home with you, with ourselves. The longest nights the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? We go terror, tyranny, all those things, right? And so we are work, we're our wondering list, and what did this want to be? And I think it's challenging, when we look at somebody who's doing so many terrible things, what did this want to be? How did this happen? My friend, the forensic psychiatrist, whose job is to go into crime scenes and maintain kinship with the perpetrator, like, how did this happen? And so some thoughts to present, and feel free to comment, Sean Patrick. So my buddy Robert Bly, may he be praised as an ancestor, always let me tease him, said one of the great tragedies in the modern world is the loneliness of men who had to leave the land and all that the word husbandry, the babies and the chickens and the soup and the thing, which is where the husbandry belongs, and go to like a factory or an office. And then there's the forcible displacement from the land, right? This severing, right? And if we think of part of how did this happen, this separation from the land, and then we become sort of detectives, like, well, what would that do to somebody who's then severed from their connection of community and land? And many wonderful people come out of incredibly difficult circumstances. So it's not everybody, but there's a current. And I was just feeling then that man, that lonely man, grows up to separate others from the land, is capable of cruelty. In early life, the biggest cruelty I ever saw of humans to animals was on the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation. It's all changing and everything, but it was like, woo. But I could see it's like so oppressed, became then cruel, so separated from land, then separate others from land. And it's like, all right, so we're going to where did this start? And where did this hungry ghost sociopathy spring from? And I think when the separation from the land and the home and the tending and the caring and the stewarding and the intimate participation where everything's alive and everything has a name and the day begins with blessing, and blessing to the birds here, blessing, good morning birds, good morning, this call and response, it's like when Andy Weil years ago got paid to go around the world taking drugs, a good job. And he wrote his first book, Natural Mind, saying there's no cultures without drugs, but there are cultures without problems. And the cultures without problems had ritual. Here's your caffeine drink when you're 12 and only in the morning. There you go. And that whole plants brought one into community. And when you turn something into a white powder, when you take, say, coca leaves, benevolent support, into a white powder, you're taking it out of its alkaloid community, so it will take you out of community, right? So it's just, there we go. That's a toxin. The whole plant's a tonic, and in that sense, we're really looking at what is a tonic that feeds a sense of community and reciprocal blessing and caretaking and mutual aid. And and also, in so much poignancy, and poignancy is kinship, so much mutual aid in Gaza and the hospitals, and just incredible humans doing brave, good things, like under such pressure. Oh, that's great. Okay, there's some great things here. Thank you. Thank you, team. Right, thank you, Darcy, for the I will find how to make the smiley face, right? Yes, thank you, Darcy. The competition, right, is in and then Elizabeth, give all cruelty and the indifference to cruelty to the night. That's great. Yeah, that's really good. And you can also raise your hands and speak, and that's good. But this is good. This is really good. We give indifference to the night. Thank you, mystery phone number. Right, exactly. And Milda says, heard a lecture by an environmentalist who said that fire in the forest creates ashes that germinate plants and flowers triggered by the ashes. Maybe not triggered. Okay. I visualize a garden of kinship blooming in the ashes of the destruction in Gaza. Yeah. Well, the international community, is talking, about the billions and billions to rebuild Gaza. And I admit, the conundrum exasperation with Joe Biden. And we're seeing him, the headline, Joe Biden negotiates hostage release. Well, he did the primary work on that. That's true. But we should learn about that. But he's in a tight box. Nonetheless, the exasperation is profound. And the US cabal and collusion and saying, well, we were encouraging Israel to be more careful about the civilians. It's like, that is appalling. Just would you mind, polite cough, excuse me, just maybe be a little less slaughtery? Just, no, just, right. So, however, Netanyahu has said, well, we want to occupy Gaza and we want to have them have less land and we want to, I can't remember a whole lot of other dementor things. And apparently, the Biden administration said no, or they said no, please. No, or I'm not sure, but there's something there. But clearly, it all must come up from the land and through us, but the international community is talking about the rebuilding, and the brave people, and Richard Backstage Badger knows about this too, primarily my guide, that the Ukraine is already many projects rebuilding with hempcrete. So in that sense, Milda, absolutely, we do want to see, well, what miraculous good green connected to earth positive non-corrupt form of land sharing and non-corrupt governance could arise from this cauldron of ashes. Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, right. And just the churlishness. I do want people with whom to yell at the TV on occasion. Certainly not perfect, because it's like, the lies. The lies. I think something for us to, it's like in sixth grade science, right, where you would add, salt or sugar to water and stir, and it would dissolve. It would dissolve, right, and then you added one more grain, and it all fell out, right. So there was saturation. But if you add more, it falls out. And I think the atmosphere of lies, I mean, even the BBC, is calling, the propaganda, the US and Israeli propaganda going on. No. So having that, fall out. All right. So here's also Sean. Thank you. Part of my learning, says Sean, to heal the legacy has been asking wild beings to teach me what that lost quality of masculine nurturing was and can be. That's great. The oak teaches how to hold that space. Right. That's really what we're doing. That's really that's essential to, where did this start? And there's so many places. Where did this start? But the displacement of humans from the land is a form of tyranny. And I don't know how many of you read, Philip Pullman's The Golden Compass. Pretty great. The heroine kills Yahweh. But the fundamentalists didn't go after Philip Pullman because the novels were too smart. But excuse me. But remember that the model was there are multiple worlds. But in every world, humans have their daemon, which is a manifestation of their spirit in an animal companion. But in some worlds, people have forgotten and don't see them, but they always exist. It's a good model. And so the worst parts of the Catholic Church and government attempt to generate energy by separating children from their daemons, right? It's a true horrible kind of idea. Anyway, it's an apt metaphor. And that's what Sean, let me just read what you wrote again too, unless you want to say hi. Anybody who wants to unmute can I think you have autonomy or can raise hand and we can do that. But Sean, again, part of my learning to heal this legacy has been asking wild beings to teach me what that lost quality of masculine nurturing was and can be. And the oak teaches how to hold that space. Yeah, that's really great. And then Sean continues. Seamus Heaney has his famous line about when hope and history rhyme. He was referencing the fact that in Irish they actually do. If in place of the word most commonly used for history, you use the older word that means tradition and inheritance and instinct and connection to the land. Oh, that's great. Right. So it, we could say it's, Israel's chart, which is getting a transit, but it is part of all of us going, it is wild times. And we do all want to look out for each other, and we want to see. Well, that's certainly my our wondering and our calling in, going to see so intimately the grief, the carnage, the sadness, the terribleness of, what's going on in Gaza. And I follow this one woman every day, Basin, and to hear her say, I'm not sure I'm going to live for much longer because of this and that and this and that. And she's been reporting every day. And I feel for her as much as for anyone. And then somebody else that I know, actually, that I'd host on the radio, Makana Music, said, there's long comments. It's like, I have connections in Gaza for healthcare, because she was really, really ill. I wonder how we can, right? Here's Trickster in some way, the miraculous connecting of people who need things. So even in a post, right, where somebody says, I can't leave my mattress, I'm in bed, I don't know, I hope I'm going to live, and I need this kind of help, but I can't find it. Somebody else goes, I have that connection. And then it's like, okay, all right, see how we can win this thing. But all technology, let's think of it as literalized inherent capacity on some level. Uranus is our intuitive kinship sense of connection. And who brought what? So, and then Judy says, toss those clinging to power for selfish reasons, ladle out tonics and examples of integrity from nature. Yes. Right. And even though there's no rules, there's guidelines, even though I said, well, no proper names into the cauldron, but nothing's really hard and fast, toss those clinging to power for selfish reasons into the cauldron. Well, if we think of the cauldron that it's only good, it's the underworld cauldron where our souls can speak more deeply to us, then sure, we can throw ourselves in as well, and then all these parts of ourselves, that's good. We can toss out what within ourselves is like them, Right. Well, that's where we want to play with it. Like, where do we get into some scary, gnarly stuff? Like, where do we feel little microdoses of it? It's probably up now. We are self-autonomous monitoring, and there are many internal things that, are we're glad we're handling it privately, going as things come up. Again, remember Tiffany Aiken in I Shall Remit says, collective group mind, mob mind, and it affects all of us. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I thought that thing. Right. I won't confess specificity, but I will confess observation of like, whoo, because we're feeling it. And then people under so much more pressure, plus generations of righteous conditioning. And I do think, right, the chosen, the special, the all of that, it wants to be we. So, well, Bridget, feel free to ponder more, proffer through email or saying anything. You're the fruits of your rumination on. We can toss out that what within ourselves is like them. That's, yeah. I'm very fond of Rev Ike. If we can dream it up, we can dream it down. Right. So it's all us in some way. Susan says, I want to throw the very dangerous and false idea that the US president is all knowing and all powerful. Yes, and ladle out the very foundational reality that we have a great council of hardworking and very knowledgeable civil servants who research, negotiate, do good teamwork to make our worldwide negotiations actually work for good. Ladle out appreciation for those doing the hard work of democracy. Yes, Susan, thank you. Yes, waffle, 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 waffle. Absolutely. Those parts of ourselves. Right. No, that's good. And we are all liberating because I can feel from being kind of out there in flack world. That you have liberated me from slight cringing, which is the sign of outsourced Saturn, about saying anything sensible like you just said, right? Because people are like, and it's like, right, no, look at Susan, she doesn't care. She's just gonna say what's true and how we can support this. Right. Right, impervious to the nya-nya of our own team. Yeah. So yeah, let's do that some more. Susan says, let's throw out the dangerous and false idea that the US president is all-knowing and all-powerful, and ladle out that the very foundation reality that we have a great council of hardworking, knowledgeable civil servants who research, negotiate, do good teamwork to make our worldwide negotiations actually work for good. Yes. Yes, we're seeing that. Yes, that's true. Council, community, community, who brought what? Yes. I have seen this to be true. You are speaking true words. We want to overcome, I speak for myself, any inhibition about saying sensible, good things like Susan is. Do good work to make our worldwide negotiation actually work for good. Ladle out appreciation for those doing the hard work of democracy. Yes. It's why I always bring up the unforgettable name of somebody. I've just forgotten her name, but the woman who's doing the climate work for Biden, right? And she said, and I think I've told you her story. She was talking to Kim with Kim Stanley Robinson at the Bioneers, and she said after they pulled off this really pretty great legislation, they had to change the name, but they saved Build Back Better with something. She said, lots of hate mail. She said, but the saddest hate mail, and remember, she's nursing premature twins while working in this incredibly dedicated for all of us benefit. The greatest hate mail was from progressives going, and it's like, come on, team. Right. So, some ally, Uranus and Taurus, very ally etiquette. Very, let me bring up the Uranus thing, which is it's associated with democracy, equality, synchronicity. These last ideas that string together with Uranus. And what I got to experience, like, I wonder what those ideas have to do with each other. And no sooner did I wonder that than molecular events stage themselves so that it was very clear when we look down at somebody or up at somebody, there is no synchronicity. There's other stuff. When we convene as, hey, how you doing, equals. I mean, we all have different roles on stage, backstage, but the only authentic kind of magical participatory way to relate is like straight across, right? And this is good news, because the dementors, more lawyers, more money, you know. But we, if we treat each other with ally etiquette, with manners, not being nice, truthfulness, but respectful, then we have magic, the right person at the right time, the thing, the connecting the person who needs the medicine with the person who has the medicine. And these are all fine-tuned, honing things. I want to, yes, that's great. And then Sean chimes back in, toss the idea that cruelty and indifference are pragmatic. Yes, thank you. Thank you, into the cauldron, right? That, you know, to be a grown-up, right? That was the thing about, you know, finite and infinite games, James Carse's thing. Finite game is about winning, infinite game about keeping everything in play. And he says, kind of in keeping with you, Susan, the challenge of having a title like president or CEO is you've given up your infinite game for a finite game. You're in an interesting box. And what happens to people once they enter that club, right? And they're like, well, here's what grown-ups do, and they don't care about this, and drones hitting civilians, and they, yeah, that's right. So, yes, cruelty and indifference as are, well, yeah, as pragmatic or mature or desirable into the cauldron, ladle out the memory that love and justice are more pragmatic if security is the goal. Yes. Yeah, everybody sort of like that. And Landisberg tossed the power that is currently held in the hands of childish men into the cauldron and ladle out knitting. All right, well, that's right. Right. The gods sentence Hercules when he's laying waste to the world with his extravagant, indulgent, hungry ghost cruelty to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving. It's a good image. I love to see Putin, for example, having his own. Oh, and then you got kidnapped. Oh, knitting pattern book. There we go. There, the message continues. So there. All right. So a few other little things I wanted to put in the chart. Let me see. What am I doing here? Oh, yeah. So first, I'd mentioned in the notes that, Jupiter retrograde at six Taurus. Six Taurus, very powerful. Excuse me while I'm rummaging here. Very, very powerful degree. There we go. And I had some notes. Huh? All right. Well, oh yeah. Okay. So I'm going to. So 6 degrees Taurus. Oh, like, let me eliminate. Eliminate Israel, so to speak, from the center. No. All right. Okay, now we're just back to just us and the planets, right? So Jupiter, we can see every night. It's retrograde at six Taurus, and we go, ooh, okay, this is an important statement. Six plus Taurus, you know, its image is the woman of Samaria at the ancestral well, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. So it, but it has been, you know, used demonically. The first 9/11 event in this country was September 11th, 1856, and that's when the Mormons dressed up as Indians, false flag thing, and attacked the settlers coming in. And they said, "Oh, we notice you're out of water. Here, we'll grant you safe passage. Thank you very much," said the settlers. And the Mormons, dressed up as Indians, killed them all. And Pluto was at 6 degrees of Taurus. And we go, no, not healing cross-cultural encounters around water. And then I'll just bring up a whole big thing here. Wait a minute. I'm going to, because when Trayvon Martin, I mean, I track all these things, all right? So we're just going to look at everything. I think we're looking at everything. Right. So I know this really well. When Trayvon Martin was murdered, Jupiter was at six Taurus. And the moon was at four Taurus, whose image is a widow weeping at an open grave. The moon exalted in Taurus. So when Trayvon Martin was murdered by George Zimmerman, it was rainy. But if they'd only looked up, right, they would have seen the moon-Jupiter conjunction, moon exalted in Taurus, right, going. And it's like the Episcopalian minister who said, "I want to live in a world where George Zimmerman offered Trayvon Martin a ride home in the rain." Right, healing cross-cultural encounters around water, you know, and then the grieving part. And in really looking at this chart, the murder of Trayvon Martin, you know, charts are guiding like what wants to happen here, not even what did, what is the missed opportunity, or how can it continue to hum? So even just this important, small, huge thing. You know, the life of Trayvon Martin, the ending of his life, the sun was at 7 degrees Pisces, and it was right before his birthday. And seven Pisces is a person with a bugle calling in a new tide of cultural energy. We go, right, that's what it wanted to be, you know, and then it resonates, you know, all the way to us in some way. We want to live in a world where you offer somebody a ride home in the rain, where you know, give your water to the street dog, where you know, we have seen so much kindness murdered. The video of the man feeding cats in Gaza, and then the cat's waiting for him, but he won't come because he got killed. Just all these poignancies of kindness, and go, whoo, you know, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. So I just wanted to note that, like, it should be resonating all the way back to Trayvon Martin's death, you know, calling in a new tide of cultural energy. And then, okay, so we come back here. And then I just want to put in, right, back to a simpler share. There we go. You know, remember we, you know, I did bring up the little baby, Anas Esbeta, in our last hooting, just because he was one of the little incubator babies who, against all odds, you know, survived. Bombing, and his parents finally came to get him, and they had his birthday. So again, the micro into the macro kinship, we don't know. We know that he's born with Uranus at 23 Taurus. He's born with the big changes that must occur. He's part of that, and it exactly squares his sun, and he's born at the dark of the moon, which is the realm of prophecy. We did some honoring of this little being, part of all of us, you know, and remember that part of the poignancy is that, you know, he could have gone to Egypt, but his family couldn't go with him, and he's just a little, he's born in August, you know, and so they're like, no, we will all live together, or we will all die together, and we're in the South, which we told were told was safe, right. And now they're bombing the South, right? However, all right, so what do we call upon? And we go, ah, part of our witchery, Venus has just entered Scorpio, so all of our ancient skills of cooperating, and it has a beautiful trine to Saturn in the sky. And we go, right, our dedication intent to experiment without presumption, without deriving status, without hubris, at, you know, weaving, wafting good wishes. We know that when we began tonight, the moon was at 22 Virgo. When Anas was born, his Mars is 22 Virgo. When Obama was born, Obama is a sun in Leo with his Mars at 22 Virgo. It's like, this is a wonderful being, you know, full of, you know, gifts. We want to just Waft. And I did, I have done little internet searches because there was a story about him in the Washington Post. It's like, does anyone know, where Anas Esbeta is? And you go, no. But we can well wish. We can well wish. I feel kin to all through the micro. It is the birthday of our wonderful ally, Carol Spooner. I don't know if Carol's here. Are you here? And I just wanted to honor, Carol's beautiful chart, just for let's see. So our councilmate, Carol Spooner. So just to wait, oh, there we go. Sorry about that. So if you're here, that's great. And if not, you'll get the recording, right? And so how beautiful that Carol is born with this is Carol's chart in the center. This is where everything is now. And so everything that we talk about that is available, the spicy, sizzly, creative dedication, everything we talk about is in Carol's solar return. So we can see that this is where the sun was when Carol was born. Here's the sun right now. She's having her solar return with a lot of company, with a lot of company. And with again, all important, Venus at 23 Scorpio. So we're really honoring this Uranus at 23 degrees of Taurus, opposite Carol Spooner, hello, wherever you are. Venus at 23 Scorpio. The image for 23 Scorpio is a woman delivering a sermon on a mount. And we go, ah, well, all right. Apparently, Carol has quite a lot to say in the coming year in a good way. And I think the Sermon on the Mount is a pretty good piece of the Bible. And I do like, Neil Douglas Klotz's Aramaic kind of making accessible that Aramaic, this beautifully metaphoric language, loses a lot when you translate it into Greek. And he goes through the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, we are told, is more like blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. So when we began tonight, we had the children swinging underneath the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strengths of ancient traditions. We go, we're going for that. We're going for that. And we know also, Uranus to Venus, it is freedom gained through loss. We let go of things, and then some parts of us, come alive. That's part of our theming. We love that even right now, because the outer circle is where planets are, Mercury in the sky is at four Capricorn, which is that's the image for it's Indian setting forth in an ardent fashion. The Sabian says warpath, but that's old fashioned. We'll reanimate it that way, but it's exactly trine, Carol's exalted moon in Taurus, so beautiful overhead when she's born, lovely, lovely, lovely. Jupiter transiting it, we'll honor that. And then because I also spoke with wonderful Linda Joy Stone, hello, whose sun is at 15 Scorpio, and here's Carol Spooner's Jupiter at 15 Scorpio. 15 Scorpio is called one of the four gates of power. It's the Halloween degree, reminding us, since we're all part of everybody, that we don't source power, we invite it, and we call it in by dedicated gatherings, all of those things. And so we go, yeah, we know that part of the beauty of the chart of now, when I said there's three grand trines, there's an Earth grand trine, and Carol gets to put all of this in her magic backpack. There's the moon of witch's moon, writer's moon, connected to what one loves in the earth, connected to necessary transformations with all backup. Whatever we love loves us. And Uranus is always a trickster wheel and deal. If this, then how about this? If I vow to do this, then will you open this path? And it's a coyote. Coyote goes, "No, what else? What else you got?" So remember the Delphic Oracle, the questions are our plans in accord with the divine? And if not, what should we do to come into accord? Very sensible. And we know that, for all of us, Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, is it for Sagittarius, owl seeing in the dark, right next to Mars, positive woofiness, right next to the sun. So it's like, yes, what I'm thinking, is part of what we m mentioned, we've mentioned before, way back in prehistory when we last met, that everything starts its journey together. That's, I'm always using the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot, which I said to my friend Marcelino, Cuban Santero, oh, they did this great job of syncretizing Ifa and Vudun and Santeria with the Kabbalah. They really did a good job. And he goes, "That's because they started off as one thing." And I go, "Oh, I like this. I like this. Neptune, remember, it's all one thing. It's all one thing." And so everything starts off as one thing, and then it's not the big bang. It's the big unfurling. It's the big journey. It's the big pilgrimage. Everything goes off into its, unique, sort of separate, interesting tradition, but it started as one thing, so that's the diaspora. And now it's kind of the cispora, right? It's kind of coming back into play, like music and art, they love each other, like all of the mystical traditions, all based in nature, spirit, mysticism, kind of coming back, and each person to find their own unique affinity. So we have the grand trine in earth. Okay, there's a, we had a grand trine in fire. That involves all these Sagittarius planets here, trine Chiron. So Chiron, for all of us, is at 15 Aries, which is nature spirits dancing in the light of sunset. Very jaunty. And it is trining. It's like, okay, the long journey. We started off as one being with one mother, we think, and go forth, So the Chiron dynamic, all the traditions, it's the tradition of mentors. And that's why, I think I'll just call upon my fa one of my favorite pictures of, I don't know if you can all see it, but somebody sent me this years ago. I so love it. It's the bitch goddess of change by Joyce Wyckoff. And the person who sent this to me, it says, I don't even know. It says love Persephone. Thank you. But yeah, these kind tokens, and it's just wonderful. And it's call if you need some backup, right? Call if you need some backup. And I go, I think we do. I think we do want backup. Oh, Ben, it's your half birthday. Well, you get a half solar return then. That's excellent. Well, that's right. Well, then everything is all these Sagittarius planets are opposite your Gemini planets that you can say big things in conversationally playful accessibility. Is that a good idea? Oh, and then Sean Patrick says Cispora. Yeah, well, that's oh good. I coined that. I coined that word, and absolutely invite it into your life. Oh, so Ben accepts that this is his self, which is to take big ideas and translate them into conversational accessibility. That's good because we had no air in our chart tonight. You're bringing air. Everybody take a sigh, right? To tease molecules of playful, and the Gemini that Ben is bringing to the table is conversing. The words are wonderful, con with verse turn. So now that that Ben has made himself known as a Gemini, and it's his half birthday. Oh, it's the birthday of my former husband. I used to be married to somebody born on your birthday. I almost forgot. Yes, so now we have all the Mercuries. We might as well load up on ourselves. So Gemini is the incarnational agent of Mercury. conversationally playful and accessible. Sometimes, like Jack and the Beanstalk, sells the magic cow for sells the cow for three magic beans, kind of thing. And then we began. All of us have the moon in Virgo. That's the other Mercury, the deep hermetic, language crafting Mercury. So they're both again the messenger, the both preside over like Legba over the crossroads where people make important vows. Right. And so again, just connecting it to Ben, again, to take big ideas, that's the Sagittarius part of what's going on in your birthday, your half birthday and your birthday, and you and Carol Spooner make a complete thing. And then not only that, but exquisite language crafting translated into conversational accessibility. And let's all feel like that's a perfectly wonderful thing. Blowing some into the Zoom. What does oops? Wait, what does that mean? But anyway, but so Ben's agreeing apparently. So yeah, and feel free to speak up, anybody, if you want to. We could make it easier. And let me know how it might be easier for people to speak if you wanted to. No obligation at all. We could have a well, we'll just let us know. And then so we have a little bit of shaking off too, which is we have at this time of year, we look to the earth-based traditions, and we just have our Bulgarian mumming dancer a little bit just to remind us of the powerful dances of now. Okay. Here is our Bulgarian mumming dancer. Yeah, there we go. That's it. Right. That's it. Just a little bit. Remember the dances of the time, and sometimes there are scary things and mysterious things, and it's where, spooky things come out of the woods. And it's this time, again, that we want to ally ourselves with, and the dark is rising, and all that be. And then two closing things, for our rumination. Well, I'll just, the first thing we're gonna see, it's an amazing video of support for Palestine around the world, and we can feel like this is very big, and we will get to feel that, and it's also like it's very big, and it's tippy. Right? Because we want it again engaged in oneness, oneness, oneness. We got and it's a powerful thing. And so remember Terry Pratchett says magic is easy. You just find the fulcrum and push. I think find the fulcrum and blow, like toward oneness, inclusivity, not tyranny into the cauldron, but Earth for all beings. These are tricky things. I'm counting on all of us to come up with how we craft them. But where I've gotten the most flack, and it's a conundrum, is you don't care about the Israelis. You don't you're posting all about Palestinians. It's like, no, I do. I do. My friends, they had, not that we should justify with any necessary credential, but my friends, two of their cousins were murdered. And reading about the GoPro film of the horrors. It's very sad atrocities in Israel, filmed by Hamas, we're pretty sure. Father and his son run into their safe room, Hamas guys throws a grenade in, father dies protecting his sons crawl out wounded, going, oh, terrible, terrible things. Things that were not true, proved by Haaretz. There were no 40 beheaded babies. There was no baby cooked in an oven. That was lurid. That was like the PR firm that got us into the Iraq War. That was not true. Many, plenty of plenty of horrible true things, plenty of horrible true things, but that was not true. What I say to people who are like, oh, and people are losing their jobs and everything. I mean, I can't fire myself, but over, the most common sense support for Palestine, Meredith brought up, teacher, in Tacoma Park, one of the most liberal places in America, was suspended because she posted two strong, sensible cartoons, and we go, And so these are challenging times, less inclusive, yes, not suppressive of truth. And again, what we all are working and what I craft are the people who are like, you don't care about. We do. I do care about the Israeli grief as equal. But if we were seeing the Hamas attack in live time, we would go, oh my God, oh my God, let's stop that. Oh my God, did you see what that's, we must all go in and prevent this attack if we were seeing it live streaming. It happened. Now we are seeing something live, this horror every night, this wrenching sadness. We are, it is live. That's the distinction. I mean, that's a distinction of now. One, this is ongoing. Yes, we grieve for all. So with that, let's head into, our part one of our finale closing, and it's just an amazing, here's global Palestine support.
I don't think I've ever seen this many people before.
I've never seen any pro-Israeli march anywhere in the world that has anywhere close to these numbers. That tells you a story.
It's not just Muslims, it's not just Asians. I've seen every community here.
It's so moving as a Palestinian who's lived in Palestine and hasn't really seen this before. I mean, it's incredible.
Anyone with a conscience believes that a civilian population should never be punished in this way.
Shows you that the people stand for Palestine, while the governments, the politicians, and the media stand for the powerful. And I think that shows you all you need to know.
So it's big. It's big, and again, as we convene tonight, the moon at 22 Virgo opposite Neptune, like, ooh, big field. It's huge. The genie is out of the bottle. This long suppressed story, right? The people still suppressed, but the story, like global education, global knowing, like, did you know? So that's, we're participating with big, 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 big things. And I love what was said about Marie Laveau, who is in back of me always, that Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, it was said that she did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. She saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce the scattered and oppressed peoples into a moment of cultural ecstasy. And I love that quote about her, which is, we don't have to create these movements. They're look, it's happening. And then we would aspire, but people of our, a woman of her substance, a person of each one of our substance, understood what was at stake. Sees a role to be played and plays it to the hilt, helping to coalesce scattered, oppressed, into cultural oneness. I mean, she did. And I just want to, to feel with that, for each one of us as an aspiration, each one of us of substance understands what's at stake. This very big stake, tyranny, freedom, life of planet, democracy, caring for each other, entire civilizations and cultures, to call in what is needed. And that's why we go, ooh, okay, it's big. And I just also remember that, well, the old teachings, the moon in Virgo. Okay, we're deconvening with some friends. The moon at 22 Virgo, right? All witchy santeras, all santeros, all witches and wizards in language, craft, and communicative part and participatory communication in a profound, confident, and sometimes casual way. And I just always remember my friend Marcelino telling me about growing up in Cuba with his, Cuban Chinese Santera grandmother, and there's she's serving him cookies, and he's seeing out the window a tornado forming, and she just, without hitting stride, like, here's some cookies, sweetie. She just takes scissors and goes snip snip, and he sees the tornado dissipate. Right. So very few of us have that training, right? But we do love the expanded repertoire of ways to participate. And everything backstage is rooting for us, right? It's rooting for us to step into the participatory dance. And so we're ending with wonderful Damien Escobar, Phoenix. And so we have the global Palestine, like, whoa, that's big. And then I think, well, what you'll see, you might know his work or not, but it's super perfect, beautiful as a way for us to close. So here's Damien Escobar and Phoenix, positive Pluto cauldron, winter solstice. Here we go. Thank you, team, for doing this powerful, beautiful kinship work. Good night.